Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Numerals. I don't know if I'm ever going to come around on them, but I can tell you it doesn't matter today because we have got March Madness in full swing right now. We have got some big names in this tournament already having to sweat this thing out, and it is only just day two. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake, who, like me, and I feel like, Janae, we're like the rest of America today. Because if your work, for some reason, just didn't give you this random Friday off in March, you're sitting around right now trying to probably sneak watch the tournament on some device at your office. And I look up at Janae Agumake right now, who's watching some TV off the side of the screen in hers. I've got Ohio State and Oral Roberts fired in possession in the corner of my eye right now. Janae, this is a true test of how many things we can do at once. This is like cramming for a test in college. That sound that you heard is clearly Chiday reacting to a missed shot at the end of regulation. Oral Roberts and Ohio State going to go to overtime here. And Chiday, this is, I think, part of why today is such a great day. We're on ESPN Radio, at ESPN Radio on Twitter, asking people, is this the best day in sports? You brought up earlier, Chiday, this idea that for you, you said the national championship for college basketball at the end of this tournament is your favorite day, correct?
Yes, but now after watching what's happening right now, I might say the start of March Madness. And we want to hear from everyone. 888-729-3776. What is the best day in sports? One day, calendar year, what is the best day in sports? Because right now, this feeling that I have watching March Madness is something that I feel like everyone just gets excited about. People just don't care what your team storylines are. Like, there's 50 million games on. I'm going to sit and watch because I know I'm going to witness greatness. And then that story continues to be told all the way through the Final Four and the national championship. So it's been really fun to be able to actually talk about the game on the court and not the shenanigans off the court.
I was going to say, as we get our second overtime game in five games so far going on today, the shenanigans Janae is talking about are the things that we have seen before the women's tournament even gets a chance to have its on-court headlines take over. We're already seeing the lack of proper facilities there, the poor food in comparison to their male counterparts in here, and the frustration that I have seen on my colleague's face here for the majority of the show for that reason.
I don't want to say I wish ill on you, but like, if this happened in football, I can only imagine what you would do.
You know what? I can imagine the frustration would be probably similar to what you're going through now. And unfortunately, that frustration for me would be because that would be an outlier in football. Unfortunately, this reinforces something that we see far too often the women's side having to deal with in this spot.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, the cool thing that is, I think a lot of the reception has been like, what? Like, it's, you know, the crazy thing that today is a lot of times the comments or the fans might say, oh, it's a women's game. They run to money. Everyone has looked at that and said, hold up. Just weights, those dumbbells and yoga mats, like that's it. Nah, this ain't it. So I'm glad to see society moving in the right direction. Even the haters are like, hold up a second. And I'm glad, hopefully, this is a learning experience for them to keep that same energy with athletes moving forward.
It is the truth, because if you haven't seen the images yet, the disparity between the two is jarring in a way that makes me ask, how did the NCAA think this was going to go? This is a reminder that I think we sometimes give the people running all of this way too much credit if they're going to mess up this badly. Now, college basketball season has reached tournament time. That means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com, search the Wooden Watch list for the Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees, like Oklahoma State's Cade Cunningham and Iowa's Luca Garza, the John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. And we had a rarity last night as we've looked around at these games today. We see some big-time names. We had two Blue Bloods in the first round last night, the four games that are called the play-in games on Thursday. UCLA and Michigan State, like a name game for the ages. Yes. In that first four. UCLA gets the win in that spot, but it was halftime that got the attention, Chiney. Where are you at on this? The exchange we saw, Tom Izzo, famed head coach for Michigan State, grabbing the arm of his junior forward, Gabe Brown, getting into a heated exchange as they headed into that halftime locker room. I saw a lot of people up in arms about it. Where were you on this?
With so much conversation about space in the NCAA, I prefer this conversation, because one thing we know about Coach Izzo is that he is not afraid to be confrontational with his athletes. And the athletes that choose to go to Michigan State, choose to be Spartans, know that his style is all up in your grill and is going to challenge you. And now I think the uncomfortable nature is, if you may not know that context of how he coaches and how his players accept it and push back on it at times, you might see that and think, oh my goodness, this is a coach abusing his power. But I do listen to the voices of the athletes, you know, even present and former. Draymond Green told everyone, relax, like, that's Coach Izzo. You know, you see he does that behind the scenes, and now we see it on the greatest stage, and that's why a lot of people are worried. So I was not so concerned based on what we've heard straight from the locker room and the players saying, look, I understand this style. I accept this style. Now the pushback on the athlete maybe was a little bit more jarring, but honestly, I prefer athletes to stand their ground, even if it means challenging those who have a little bit more power, like a legendary coach. I did not mind seeing the athlete challenge as long as they understand what their goals are, and I think they will clarify that coming up as well.
And I think that's important to note, that it was a two-way street, because Brandon Wood, who played on the same 2011-2012 Michigan State team as Draymond Green, tweeted out and said, that was one of the parts of Izzo's coaching style that I respected the most. That situation going into the tunnel was nothing. He allows his players to challenge him, and he's coming right back at you. I bet he was hype after all of that. After all of that, Tom Izzo, Michigan State's head coach, did address this situation with the media after the game. Here was Coach. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio, and I could probably do without those portions of it, the snark at the end, because this is something that people aren't used to seeing. Chenangle, in general, I'm not a fan of people, coaches putting hands on players, because often it's not a two-way street. Often, if a player were to retaliate, we'd have something far bigger and far more serious on our hands, the way that people would treat that. But what I will say about this interaction is, I don't think that the physical portion of this jumped to a level I was uncomfortable with, and more so, the response from multiple former players in this. The fact that Tom Izzo would have been happy to let Gabe get up there and talk about this situation and expect him to go honestly is a reminder that when you're a player, you know if a coach is for you. And if you know that at the foundation, the way it seems to be with Izzo and all these guys, I think it changes a lot about the dynamic of these things. I had a coach in Harry Hiestand, who was my offensive line coach my last year at Notre Dame. One of the best offensive line coaches in college football, has been one of the best in the NFL at certain times. He was a hard guy to play for some days because he was going to hold you accountable. But the one thing we all knew was that he was always going to fight for us. When I got cut later on, he was the first guy to help me send out tape, to write notes to other teams, to try and do whatever he could to help me. And I knew that about him. So I was ready to go to bat. I'd have jumped in front of a bullet for that guy then and now. And so I think if you've got that understanding, there's a difference of a coach that just wants to dog cuss you, and then there's a coach that actually is going to do it, because that's how you communicate. That's the love language of a relationship that is still founded on love and mutual respect.
And I think this is a good point for everyone to see. When there's a foundation of trust, you can weather any storm. Meaning, if this was another coach without a foundation of trust, that could turn into a huge issue that potentially could get that person, you never know, you know, make them lose their job. You never know, based on how, you know, grabbing an athlete and handling it, especially, you know, in this day and age and climate where we are now hypersensitive to making sure we protect those that need to be protected. So again, foundation of trust, the respect, and just the competitive fire here, based on all of that, that sort of put that situation to bed. When other instances, if you don't have that, guess what? That can get you in trouble.
Yeah, if you don't have players, like clearly Tom Izzo had in droves coming out and saying, this is how we communicate. We believe that we have the ability to, on this situation, go at our coach in the same way he's going to come at us. That understanding that there's a bit of equal footing in that, because that's always what's in question in college, Chenae, is It never feels like we're dealing with equal footings. It feels like players are having things dictated to them in these spots, and that's what makes the physical interaction so uncomfortable for so many people. So.
Yep.
Trust, man. It helps everything.
And this is just the start of the tournament. Like, what?
I say this is day two now of the NCAA tournament, and we've already got multiple overtimes, people freaking out.
Oh my gosh, did you look at the score, Junior?
I did not look at the score. Coming up next, because we cannot legally do play-by-play for this, we will see and check in with what's going on in the tournament, as well as what's going on in the NBA. There is nothing like having friends with a microphone in front of their face to try and make your case for you. Someone said something very loud on behalf of LeBron James last night, and we'll get to it next here on ESPN Radio.
Chenae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Really don't know how we're supposed to do this right now. Oral Roberts leading Ohio State by 3 points with 13 seconds left. And Chanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio are supposed to somehow put on a show and talk about LeBron James because it is our job and it is our duty. But Chanae, this has been that kind of day for us here, trying to balance all of this, what's going on in the NCAA tournament. So we'll keep you up to date as things continue to go. One of the best sports days in the calendar year. Chanae, I can vividly remember being out in Las Vegas for a bachelor party that was going on this weekend 4 years ago. Friday in Vegas for March Madness. Forget one of the best sports days overall. That might be one of the best sports environments that you can be in, watching people sprinting back and forth to the sports book, drink in hand, ready to risk it all.
Wow, that sounds like a time. Bachelor party, Las Vegas, and March Madness. You reached the trifecta. I'm surprised. I mean, like, I don't even know how you even made it out of there.
I'm surprised myself. Not nearly as surprised as people who had Ohio State going far along in their brackets, because Oral Roberts pulls off the 75-72 overtime upset win, 15 over a 2 seed in the South region.
What?
And we've got our first official bracket buster out here in the tournament today.
No.
This is a brutal spot to be in. And listen, I know that when you were in the NCAA tournament, you guys were a good high seed every year when you were at Stanford. And so this is the absolute nightmare scenario for what you've done all season.
I'm clicking on ESPN.com, check my bracket, looking at my bracket right now, and it's toast. Like, what in the world? How far? I had them going all the way to the Elite Eight Junior. How far did you have them going?
I can check soon. I have a feeling it is similarly far. Spoiler alert, I didn't watch a lot of Oral Roberts basketball this year. And so I just kind of assumed we would take care of business. At ESPN Radio, is this the best sports day of the calendar year? Anyone who's experienced it like I have in Vegas might agree. Anybody who has maybe gone out and put a few shekels on a 2 seed beaten a 15 might disagree in that spot. But, Janae, one thing we can always have fun debating is the MVP. And my favorite thing that happens is when the players involved in this start to get their people coming up and sticking up for them. And that's exactly what happened for LeBron James. They beat the Charlotte Hornets last night. Kyle Kuzma gets on the microphone and says the MVP is a very political award. Quote, Bron should have been the MVP at least 8, 9, 10 times. Everybody knows that. LeBron James currently 4 MVPs in his career, tied with Wilt for the 3rd most all time. But Chanae, is Kuz right in this instance?
He is right. Now, the number of how many MVPs, I don't know if it's like 8, 9, 10. Okay, it's the same thing when we enter the season and saying Kansas City Chiefs are going to win. Not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know why we always do this. LeBron James and the Miami Heat, oh, we're not going to win one. Just, like, come on. It's okay. But I guess the exaggeration just tries to shock people into realizing, like, this is real. LeBron James, his MVP candidacy, where he has been the front runner for most of the NBA season, is a real thing. Now, Joel Embiid had a big push, a push where a lot of people might think, based on him being out for over a week now, you know, maybe he's out of it, but he's been dominant, right? But the problem is it's a narrative. It's a narrative argument. And right now the narrative has been LeBron James for like the first half of the season. It switched over to Joel Embiid, and now it's switching back to LeBron. So I think a lot of people, like, LeBron's greatness is totally normalized because he's a freak of nature on the court. Being able to be a point forward, the strongest guy that could potentially play center, but also is knocking down threes and holding it down with Anthony Davis out. Totally get all of the normalization part, but that should not diminish the fact that, hey, he is actually probably right now entering being the leader in the MVP conversation, especially with the Lakers sitting at number 2 in the West right now and holding, you know, going through the rough patch of like a few games losses, but now they're winning again. And if they continue this, he probably owns a narrative.
And that narrative is something that John Ireland, who does the Lakers play-by-play, agrees with you on, agrees that we should be prorating this based on their situation as a team. John Ireland joined the Max Kellerman Show earlier today on ESPN Radio and talked about LeBron and his MVP case.
Michael Jordan was the best player in the league every year he played in the league, and that's LeBron.
Yep.
I mean, other than those first 2 years when he was getting his feet wet, the players know who the real MVP is. If you were going to have a draft to win right now, and that's all that mattered was the next month, wouldn't you take LeBron?
Yeah,
I mean,
I would take
LeBron. He's 36, and you would take LeBron. I mean, and by the way, he's revving it up. These 4 games since the All-Star break, he's averaging 25-8-10, while shooting 56% from the field and 44% from 3. I mean, he's just controlling these games by himself. And, you know, one thing that he's not getting enough credit for is the Lakers are beating teams now without Anthony Davis. And when Dennis Schroeder and LeBron play, and AD doesn't, the Lakers are 12-1.
Is that good?
That's all LeBron. I mean, that's to answer your original question. To me, I think LeBron's the MVP, and then you can have an argument over who's second.
Now, Chinay Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, I'd say this. The fact that we have to have the caveat of LeBron and Dennis Schroeder says that it is not completely without aid in this spot, because we remember what that team looked like before Dennis Schroeder came back. So it's not like he's out there on an island all by himself. But, Chinay, I don't know if we failed to give LeBron James credit. We've, in fact, highlighted that this is a great opportunity for him to make MVP headway for that reason.
And I'm glad that he's, you know, having his people, even if it's not per his choice, campaign for him, because the narrative does matter. You know, Dennis Schroeder is talented, but so is Kyrie Irving, if you're going to talk about James Harden being an MVP, right? Joel Embiid is talented, but so is Ben Simmons, and Tobias Harris is having the great case. Like, if you put all of these, exactly what John Ireland said, if you take LeBron James, forget about his age, forget about all the other stuff, and you just say how he's playing, would you want him on his team? He is a force to be reckoned with, and that's what I'm hoping everyone sees, not just, oh, we're so used to him being great, and yeah, what's the difference of 8 years not winning MVP, and now it's nine? It's just funny, because this is a very unique moment for people in Ohio watching the son of Ohio likely enter the MVP, you know, conversation, but then also what just happened to Ohio State. So
yes, a very tough day overall in the state of Ohio right now, as the Ohio State Buckeyes become the ninth 2 seed to lose to a 15 seed. They lose in overtime to 15 seed Oral Roberts as the brackets are already getting busted.
So annoying. Sorry, Junior.
No, you're good.
Really quick. Yeah? So annoying. So my friend Kayla Johnson, who is a talented person that works at ESPN, this was the one upset she picked.
The one. You know what? I don't blame her, Chinay. Anytime I get an upset right, I basically overlook most of the mistakes I'm going to make in my bracket. You have to highlight in that moment the fact that you knew what other people did, and you wouldn't be able to tell me nothing right now. So, thanks. Kayla, do your thing. We are all here supporting you right now, except for Ohio State fans. But coming up next, let's check in with the bubble action going on right now. We've got our first upset. We've got games going on left and right, and so let's check in with one of our great college basketball analysts next after this word from Indeed.
I mean, Oral Roberts, all about their business today on the court, and we are all about our business here on Chinay Engel Jr. So how about this? When you own a business, you're the owner of everything: sales, finance, customer service. Now, fortunately, Indeed is uniquely qualified to help you really own hiring. Right when you sponsor a job post, Indeed's Instant Match searches through the millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description immediately, like on the spot. Then you can invite them to apply to your job right away. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. Now let's head to the hardwood. Everything you need to know about March Madness, starting with the first major upset. Down goes Ohio State. We'll fill you in on everything right after this on Chinay Engel Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chinay Engel Jr., the podcast.
As you just heard in the SportsCenter update, we have got upsets underway already. 15th seed Oral Roberts taking down 2 seed Ohio State in the South region. Chinay Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Egwumike, and we are delighted to get ready to head out to the Goodyear Hotline to try and check in on all this madness right now. How do we make sense of this? Sean Farnham, our ESPN college basketball analyst, former UCLA Bruin, kind enough to join us on the show. And Sean, as we all sit here and bask in the greatness of this day, first and foremost, we've been asking all day, is this the best day on the sports calendar, Sean, the opening weekend, the opening Friday of March Madness?
There's no doubt that it is. And given the fact that we lost this last year, it's a straight shot of adrenaline right into the arms right now. I mean, just watching the raw emotion of last night, seeing UCLA knock off Michigan State and the way that that game was played, to watching the ninth ever 15 seed knock off a 2 seed in the opening round here. It is, it's been fantastic. And it just brings a smile to my face that we're getting to see these teams compete, and that the women's tournament will get underway on Sunday, and so many great storylines there to look forward to. So it's awesome. I can't wait for this entire weekend.
It's been incredible. Oral Roberts was a 16-point underdog. That win would be the largest NCAA tournament upset since UMBC upset 1 seed Virginia at 20.5-point dogs that we all remember famously. And so, Sean, sticking with that upset here, what did you see? Ohio State came into this as a second seed. The Big Ten had had such a great moment in college basketball this year. What was the key to this upset win on Friday of March Madness?
Well, first of all, I saw my bracket go up in flames because I had Ohio State in the Final Four. So I already put that in my bracket prediction that we all had those graphics nicely printed up yesterday by ESPN that we all put out on our social media. I already put a flame over Ohio State with a song on my Instagram because, yeah, my bracket's done. What we saw really was immense struggle from the free throw line. I mean, you're talking about a 50% free throw shooting performance today from Ohio State. You're seeing Dwayne Washington Jr., who has been consistent all season long, struggle and go 3 of 12 from beyond the arc. But that doesn't take away the fact that Oral Roberts came into this game believing they could win. They executed as if they thought throughout the course of this game that they would win. They got the stops when they needed to. They created turnover opportunities. I mean, they turned the ball over 6 times. Ohio State turned it over 16 times. Usually you see that flipped in a 15-2. But Ohio State was not itself, and I've seen some people go to Twitter and say, well, you know, Kyle Young wasn't there. Well, they didn't need Kyle Young when they beat Michigan. And, yeah, I know that Isaiah Livers wasn't playing for Michigan. You should have been able to come out today and execute and find a way to win this game even without Kyle Young. And that was not the case. Credit goes to Oral Roberts and the way they came out and fought, managed this game really well, in particular in the closing moments. Those are pressure moments. When you're the 15th seed and – you know, there's a couple moments where you get to the free throw line and you're like, gosh, if Dwayne Washington makes this, it's a 1-point game. And he misses both. He misses both. It's a very uncharacteristic performance from them. But that's what we see in the NCAA tournament. When it's a 1-game playoff system, these kind of things happen. And this is what makes this event so spectacular and so much fun to watch.
Sean Farnham, ESPN college basketball analyst. Hey, Sean, at least, you know, we're mutually in this state of all of our brackets are in flames. And at least UCLA got a win over Michigan State, right? So that's not too bad there. You know, thinking about the overall picture here, you know, as an athlete that played at UCLA and you know what it's like to enter March Madness, it's got to be difficult stepping into that space. First space, right? It's a bubble. It's very different than most experiences. You know, what's the mind of the student athlete competing? Because I know we see upsets and it's great for the stories, but it's actually difficult to step into that environment, especially this year, and succeed.
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of physical and mental exhaustion and how you handle that. In both the men's and the women's tournament, it's going to be imperative for your longevity in this tournament. Because I'm talking to some of the players, even in the last couple of weeks, you get a sense of, man, they like, it's stressful. Every time you take a test, it's stressful. Every time, you know, you're watching, going, okay, all my teammates are good. Are we good? Are we going to get to play? And all those things. And then you add into the significance of playing in this event. And I've experienced the joys of going to an Elite Eight, and I've experienced the pain of losing in the first round as a favorite. And both of them are exhilarating in complete polar opposites. And so one of the things that I thought about when we started our coverage here at ESPN over Champ Week and then bleeding into this week through sports centers and whatnot is just celebrating the commitment that these players made in order for all of us to celebrate and enjoy and get the entertainment of what we're watching. I think it's imperative that we tell their stories. It's imperative that we highlight the individual successes and the accomplishments that they've had to get to this point. And this year, I think everything is heightened. The joys and the pains are going to be heightened based on the situation that they're, the controlled environment that they're playing in, that they're going to be living in as they try to march their way through this to the Final Four and a national championship.
Chinnan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. You mentioned everything's felt heightened, Sean. We certainly saw a visual representation of the heightened disparity between the situation inside the bubble for the men's tournament and what we saw going into the women's bubble heading into their tournament starting this weekend. How did the NCAA allow something like this to happen and become the dominant story heading into Friday of the tournament weekend?
You're serious? You're really? I mean, like, why? Because they thought A, nobody would say anything. B, they were like, well, like, gosh, our men's tournament makes us so much. Like, it's just the disparity we see between men's and women's sports. I'm a huge advocate for women's basketball and for women's sports in general. My daughter's a soccer player, and I, you know, she's going to have hopefully opportunities that open up down the road. As she's 13 years old, hopefully I have opportunities. She improves in her sport, grows in her sport to play in college. But the lack of attention that we give to women's sports overall in this country is embarrassing. And when you see something like that happen from the NCAA, let's not just look at the weight room that they said they had no room for, and then the video came out later on that there's plenty of room for them to set up an adequate weight room. I guess they thought that women's basketball players only did yoga, and they only needed yoga mats, and that's how they trained to become elite-level athletes. It's insulting. It's embarrassing. And the NCAA needs to do more than the statement that they released yesterday, because that was just, you know, let's cover our butts instead of, you know what, we screwed up. We are fixing this right now. And that's what they should have done. And to be honest, it shouldn't even been that way. Like, look at the difference in the goodie bags and how the beds looked when the players walked into the room versus what the women's players got, which was like a T-shirt, one bar of deodorant, and like a towel. And then the men's rooms have like these comforters, these pillows. They've got books. They've got, I mean, they got everything. They got body wash. They got, you know, disinfectant wipes. They got everything on their bed. The discrepancy is embarrassing for the NCAA. And if we're going to talk and have commercials that say 90% of our student athletes or 92% of our student athletes go pro in something else, and you're going to put on student athletes on both sides and gender, then we need to have equity in the way that we treat our student athletes. We need to do better, and we need to demand better. And I hope that this embarrassment that has become of this incident makes them reflect and start to really bring about true change in how we approach women's sports alongside what we do for our men's tournaments.
Couldn't agree more, Sean. It's been a point of immense frustration sitting here today, having to see the look on my colleague's face, and Chinee, who's someone who lived this women's tournament through her own personal experience, and just watching this time and time again be the story. As you're right, it should be us getting to celebrate what these athletes have accomplished, and we will try and do that as we go into what is one of the most enjoyable weekends on the calendar. Sean, we can't thank you enough.
Especially, you know, you look at the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 women's basketball is the best conference in the country. Stanford had a tremendous season. I'm extremely close to Corey Close, the UCLA women's basketball head coach. And, you know, people don't even know the story about them, that they have two players that would have been a significant part of their program this year that haven't been allowed to come into the United States and play because of distance learning from Australia. And how much that set them back a little bit, but they've overcome the odds. They're a 3 seed in the women's bracket, potentially matching up with a very good Maryland team. I'm hopeful that Coach Close gets it done, but I'm excited for the Conference of Champions on the women's side, because today you know how good the basketball is, the quality of basketball, but the stories that can be told this year have been outstanding.
You know that, and that's where we back the pack. Even though I am rooting for Stanford, number one overall seed, I do love Michaela Onyemere for the Bruins. She's done a tremendous job.
Absolutely, and those are the stories hope to get to highlight if the NCAA can just get their collective bleep together and start doing right by these women. Sean, we appreciate your
time.
We appreciate your insight. Enjoy the weekend of games, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, man?
Yeah, it's going to be a great tournament on both the men's and women's side. Remember, the women's tournament starts on Sunday on ESPN. Make sure you're watching.
Absolutely. Make sure to support it with your eyes as much as we all support it with our voices right now. Coming up next, let's stick with that. What the best sports day in the calendar year looks like, and what the stats about this upset tell us, that Sean Farnham may not be the only one whose bracket got ruined on day one. That's next. Chinee Ngola Jr. after this word from Body Armor.
Let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light is the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like your girl here in the WNBA, Michael Jr., who is an elliptical professional, but also a great athlete, of course, Mike Trout, Sabrina Udescu, and Dustin Johnson all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? No, for real. Why not give it a try? From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. You can learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Now, we've been asking all y'all, what is the best sports day of the year? I mean, we all love March Madness, but is it Super Bowl day? Is it the day the Masters start? Call and tell us now, 888-729-3776. We want to talk to you right after this on Chinee Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chinee Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Chinee, I had no idea that the Big Ten has actually lost twice already today.
Really?
Chinee Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Well, yeah, because, I mean, so we had one. We had Ohio State getting upset by 15 seed Oral Roberts. And when I say upset, I mean, they're not the only ones upset in this, Chinee. When you look at the brackets right now, a whopping 13,992,289 brackets in ESPN's bracket pool picked the Buckeyes to win. That is 95.2% of all brackets.
Oh, man. 5% technically. Wait, 95.2?
95.2% of all brackets picked Ohio State, the 2 seed, to beat Oral Roberts. Wow. Again, this is the only the ninth 15-2 upset we have had in the tournament's history. So
that's
a pretty big loss. But
big one. What's the other one?
Well, the other one is, so Indiana recently fired their head men's basketball coach, and we had seen the rumor mill start churning that Indiana's very own Brad Stevens, the Boston Celtics' current head coach, was somehow getting churned around in this. He was getting asked about it after the games. And so Brad Stevens, before their game tonight, offered this quote on the situation. Quote, "I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a 44-year-old mass bleep. I swerve around others while I'm driving. I drink Dunkin' Donuts. I root for the Patriots." Said Boston, he loves Boston. Indiana will always be home, but he is not considering leaving the Celtics. So tough blow for delusional Indiana fans that thought that that was even a possibility.
Former Butler head coach. Yeah, I know. They were shooting their shot at, like, I know he's struggling, and this is like the prime time to see if he'd be interested. But I like his comments. That was actually funny. That was a bar.
That was a bar. And so that is part of the reason we've got March Madness basketball happening all around us here. It's an extraordinary day if you're not in the Big Ten. Now, Illinois took care of business. They blew out whoever the hell they played. I don't even remember the name of the 16 seed that they erased earlier in the day today. But this is a day that has a lot going on. We are trying to balance all this information. We think
Drexel.
It is one of the Drexel, the Dragons. I was going to say Mario the Magnificent, great mascot. This has been worth trying to balance today because it is one of the best sports days on the calendar. We asked at ESPN Radio on Twitter, is it the best sports day in the calendar year? We had the big game on Sunday up there with it as well. We had the college football playoff semis in there. But we want to hear from you, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Rex from Columbus. Rex, you're on Chenangola Jr. What's the best sports day
Rex.
In the calendar year?
Hey, how you doing? It is the Little League World Series Championship game. I don't know if you've ever gone, but the just the atmosphere around that is amazing, that whole weekend. But those boys, those girls playing their hearts out just for the love of the game. No sponsors, no endorsements, no contracts. Everything that they've got just because they love the game. It's amazing.
Janae, it's so interesting to me. I think the Little League World Series crowd, the College World Series crowd that really loves that event every year, that's a very passionate group of people to deal with.
That is a very wholesome choice that makes me feel better today.
It does. All I can think of is the South Park episode, though, where all the kids actually hate playing in the Little League World Series and each team playing is just trying to lose so they can go home and enjoy their... Like, I feel like we're always playing the Little League World Series. And a lot of people love it, and it's a great product, and I hope all the kids are having fun. But it just feels like... You know how we feel like there's four national friend days every year or four national sibling days. I feel like right now, if you looked outside, the Little League World Series is being played in some form or fashion somewhere.
No, you're right. It does feel like we're perennially playing the Little League World Series. You're right. It's always like, oh, it's back already?
888-729-3776. What's the best sports day of the year? In celebration of Women's History Month, we pay tribute to Black Queens on the Undefeated on ESPN Plus. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com is our very own Black Queen, Shanae Agumake. Let's everybody know what's going on out here today, as she has been doing. So coming up next, we will get back to a big issue that we've been dealing with on this show and give you the latest on a star NFL quarterback and a legal battle that is just getting started next on ESPN Radio.